Nothing says I love you quite as much as a pay freeze. That's why news leaking out that the Trump administration is considering a pay freeze for 2019 is so disappointing. The Obama administration imposed a three-year pay freeze. And our next guest recalls that didn't go over too well either. Federal News Radio's Eric White spoke with Jeff Neal, former Chief Human Capital Officer of Homeland Security, now with ICF.
Well, a federal pay freeze is exactly what it sounds like. It's a freeze on the annual cost of living adjustments that federal employees get. And a pay freeze could affect as many as 2 million employees. So it's a pretty big deal when we start talking about freezing the pay of federal workers.
And do you think that I'm not going to ask you to speculate their grand plans, but is this a way to maybe shrink the federal workforce itself? Because, you know, if you have openings for a position and people aren't applying because they know that there's a federal pay freeze, couldn't that in effect shorten the amount of people you have working for the federal government?
It could. The bad thing is that you really don't want that to happen. You know, let's say you're one of the folks who's in favor of smaller government and you translate smaller government as a smaller federal workforce. The people who have that position probably don't think we should be shrinking the Border Patrol or ICE or the Department of Defense. And if you do a blanket pay freeze across the entire government, you start affecting those people too. So, you know, if we're going to try to shrink the size of government, then we should do it by deciding which government functions we don't want to perform anymore, and then cut those, and just come out right out and say, okay, we don't think the government should do X, and we're not going to fund that, or we're going to reduce the amount of money that we give to that function. Anything that's across the board affects the things that are most critical, like cybersecurity or DOD or Homeland Security or veterans care and benefits at VA. And so it doesn't just target the things that people might think are the less favorable parts of government. It targets everything. And that's really not the best way to make public policy, really.
Jeff Neal is Senior Vice President of ICF, former Chief Human Capital Officer for the Homeland Security Department. So is the blanket approach taken because it sounds better politically, or is it just that it's easier? Because, you know, people like yourself, and I'm sure there are others, have ways of reforming the federal pay system. Why take this way?
Well, I think it's actually both. Politically, it sells better to the small government crowd. And it's easier. It's much easier to just say, well, we're going to freeze everything. You know, most people who've been around government, the government workforce and issues surrounding the workforce for years would tell you that we have some federal employees who are overpaid. We also have some federal employees who are underpaid. And then we have a lot of federal employees who are paid about right. You know, I call it the Goldilocks approach to pay. And things like this do help with dealing with some of the people who are overpaid, but they do nothing at all. As a matter of fact, they have the opposite effect on the people who are really underpaid. And then for the vast majority of federal workers whose pay is probably just about right, you know, they end up suffering. And we saw that the workforce reacts very badly to this. You know, the Obama administration and Congress froze federal pay for about 3 years. And during that time, a lot of the responses on the Federal Employee Viewpoint Survey and then the Partnership for Public Service Best Places to Work rankings, a lot of the numbers went down. And they went down every year that there was a pay freeze and didn't recover until the pay freeze was lifted. We do have a lot of people in government who do work that nobody questions whether or not the government should be doing it. I don't think many people question whether or not we should have a Department of Defense. And I can tell you, having worked in DOD for 26 years, DOD doesn't get its mission done without civilian employees. They're absolutely crucial to our defense, and there were over 700,000 of them. So, you know, we agree we should have a Department of Defense. Most people agree that we should have all the functions that are in the Department of Homeland Security. Most people agree that the Department of Veterans Affairs is a good idea, that we should take care of our veterans. So making policy because it's a convenient way to do it, when we're dealing not only with the livelihoods of those federal workers, but of the missions that they carry out, I just think it's just a sloppy way to make public policy. We should have an open, robust debate about what the federal pay system should look like and how we should pay federal employees. You know, we should have probably an independent commission to look at it, because at this point, I don't know if I trust politicians to do anything on either side. And have a commission that holds public hearings, that talks to people who actually understand the consequences of what they might do, talks to people who are advocates of higher federal pay, talks to people who are advocates of lower federal pay, and then has public deliberations and makes a decision in public. Yeah, that's the way to make public policy, not, you know, we'll just slap a pay freeze on for a couple of years. It didn't work during the Obama administration, and it won't work during the Trump administration.
Jeff Neal is Senior Vice President of ICF. During that prior federal pay freeze that you were talking about, was there a drop in applicants, or was it just less qualified people were applying? I mean, I don't know if you have the answer to that, but is there an effect there that you can easily see?
There's not really a lot of data around that's public. I can tell you, in talking to people in government who do government HR work, they thought the quality of applicants they were getting was dropping, and in some cases they were having trouble filling positions. You know, we have occupations in government that are very difficult to fill already. You know, like cybersecurity jobs. You hear about that all the time. And it is a legitimate problem. So anything that you do that tells the labor market that you're not a stable employer and that you're not going to pay your employees well turns off in-demand applicants in occupations like that. So the consequences are not good.
Who stands to feel the effect the most from a federal pay freeze?
I think it will be harder on managers, because they're going to have employees who, you know, if they're told your pay is frozen, and they're told, you know, we may be shrinking the agency by 5 or 10%. And they're told, you know, by the folks in Congress, a lot of them in Congress, that, you know, that federal employees don't work hard enough or are overpaid. It starts beating down morale. You know, people can take that for a while. But, you know, after a while, they just start saying, okay, I really don't need to stay around and put up with this. You know, one of the advantages that the federal employees retirement system had when it was put in place a few decades ago was that people said it would make it easier for people to move in and out of government, because federal employees had the equivalent of a 401k. And I think we may see more of that people who are in very marketable occupations may decide to just punch out and go somewhere else and get out of government. And that may be the intent of the people who want to freeze pay, but you know, it's not the way you want to downsize government. You lose the people who are most marketable when you downsize that way. And the people who are most marketable because they have skills that are in demand. And they can walk, and I think they will.
Jeff Neal is Senior Vice President at ICF and former Chief Human Capital Officer at the Homeland Security Department. We'll post this interview at federalnewsradio.com/Federal Drive, where you can subscribe to all of our interviews at iTunes or Podcast One.